up, cuz? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. Cousin, I am super blessed that you have decided to click on this podcast today, that this is the time that you said, hey, listen, let me just, you know, see what's going on over with Coco. Thanks for checking in with me, cuz. I appreciate it. If you feel so inclined, please hit the like and subscribe button. I promise you we're going to have a good time today. So as you can probably guess by the title, this episode is an Internet Witches Got Questions episode. I try to do these like once or twice per season because there's so much going on the online space. And as much as we would like to be in person and share, you know, spiritual insights and connect with each other in person, the online space definitely does play a part in a lot of people's spiritual journeys. I know that because I started a podcast, right? Like here we are, right? You have no idea what I look like. You've never sat next to me and yet you clicked on this. Maybe you've listened to a couple episodes before. You're trying to see, you know, what the space is like, what hoodoo can be like for other people. And we're meeting online, right? So as I traverse the online space, I find a lot of questions that come about or topics that come up. And sometimes it's just way too much for like the end of an episode. So we dump them in an Internet Witches Got Questions episode. Normally, when I do an Internet Witches Got Questions episode, I have my big sis with me, but life has been lifing. I didn't even ask her to do this with me today because the last time I talked to her, she was like, girl, let me tell you about my job. And she was like, I just need to sit here and just eat my chickpea salad and mind my business. And I'm like, fair. That's fair. Let me not, you know, put more on her plate or ask her to do something that is too much. So you got just me today. And hopefully the next time, which hopefully should be the end of the season, is what I have planned. I won't feel so guilty asking Big Sis to join us. But this time it's just me. So much like the last time we did Internet Witches Got Questions, I'm going to not just pull from hoodoo spaces, I'm going to pull from occult spaces across the board. What I find is that modern hoodoos aren't interested in just traditional stuff. They want to incorporate the gods and goddesses, the, you know, whether they are traditional African gods and goddesses or not. They want to incorporate crystals and moons and things like that. It's a little more broad than it used to be. Especially when you're free learning and you're just kind of trying to build your own practice. So I've taken questions from all over the internet, all different types of spaces. And also, like I said, I've admitted to you guys before, hoodoo is definitely my base, but I am also earth pagan, meaning like I find the earth itself to be a driving force, and our position in the universe is a driving force. And I have a lot of respect for that, probably more so than I would in a theistic godlike being. Right. So that also kind of colors this. I'm not going to lie with you guys, lie to you guys. So how about we just jump right into the first question? So the first question comes from a hoodoo board on Facebook. And it says, I went to a spiritual healer and he told me I was cursed. I have my suspicions of some people from my past. He wouldn't tell me exactly who did it. How can I find out who that person is? So I guess when you go to someone and they're like, oh, you've been cursed, and you ask, OK, well, who did it? Can you tell me more? And they're like, you know, I can't. I don't have any details. That's a red flag for me, just because there are a lot of people in a spiritual space who will try to take advantage of you, especially if right after they say you're cursed, they try to sell you a 9-step process that's $100, you know, a step. Red flag, right? But also there are some limitations. Some people can't some diviners might not be able to tell you a name or anything like that, or they can't really see much more than your ailment. And if you are suffering from a jinx, curse, whatever, you would expect the diviner to be able to see a path towards a cure. But that's not really the question, is it? The question is, let's see, how can I find out who the person is? So it happened to me recently, like last year, I had an idea of who was sending some bad stuff my way, who was trying to, tie me up and fix me. So I just did a reversal. That's what I did. And the divination, I had an idea, but I couldn't confirm that through divination. And I had to decide to myself, like, doesn't matter who did it. Right? Like, it doesn't matter at this moment who did it. I just need to get rid of it. So if I want to get rid of it, I can clear it. I could try to clear it. I can see how they did it, during the divination process, the way they were speaking about me, some things that they, placed over me. I could see that, and I can figure out how to reverse that or to get rid of that. But to do a reversal literally means that you've taken it off yourself and sent it back. Sometimes in the more general occult spaces, a reversal is called a return to sender, because that's what it looks like. It looks like you took it off of yourself, or like you got a piece of work in the mail and you just hit return to sender on the envelope and put it back in the mail, right? The spiritual mail. And it went back to the person who sent it to you. So if you do a reversal, a lot of times you'll see who whammied you, who jinxed you, who cursed you. And we can see that in a lot of folklore and a lot of hoodoo stories that come across. In the episode before this one, when we were talking about timing, I read to you a story about a woman who, she would fall out at 10 o'clock every night. Either she went to bed or she would pass out, but she could not control when she went to sleep at night, and how late she could stay up. And the moment that she destroyed the spell, the moment that, she dispelled whatever it was that was on her, her neighbor had to ended up in the hospital. So she knew that it was her neighbor who put it on her. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get wrapped up in the who before we do the work. And I understand why, because if you know who and you know how, it's easier to dispel the work. If you just do the reversal, it should reveal who did it to you. Should reveal. There's no guarantees in all of this, right? But it should reveal it, who did it to you. Okay, next question. Where do you find spells? And how fast did they work for you? This question comes from the Witch Board on Reddit. I was going to say a Witch Board, but it's the Witch Board. So you can find spells anywhere. You can find spells on Pinterest. You can find spells on YouTube. You can find spells, by talking to your next door neighbor. They'll have a superstition that they, have that can constitute as a spell. I work two different ways. The first way I work is finding historical precedents, or looking into folklore, looking into the anthropology texts, and seeing what used to be done, what was reported as done, and that worked for someone. So, a long time ago, we did a love episode. This woman, she stuffed socks under the rug at the front door. She put underwear under a mattress where her husband laid, and that kept her man with her, right? So, that was reported a gazillion years ago, and that's still something. A gazillion years. I'm being ridiculous. That was reported, 50, 60, 70 years ago, and that's something that we still see now. Or like the whole period blood in the spaghetti. That's work that was done. It's we know about it because it was done. Like, people did it. You know what I mean? So following that kind of stuff, things that you might find in Zora Neale Hurston, Harry Hyatt, different Black American folklore stuff. I'm saying that because even though this is on the witch board, I'm talking to hoodoos, right? So finding things like that can help you. Also, when it's not written down, it's being passed mentor to student. So if you have a mentor, they're going to show you work that you can do, right? The other way I get spells, work, well, you know, is spiritual work, is I understand different modalities, like how a spiritual bath works, how jar container spells work, you know, how a crossroad works, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I build my own work. I'm a big fan of building my own work as well. So I take, you know, a little of the traditional and then I adapt it to my modern life. So if there's something I can't get a hold of or a place I can't go with something that symbolizes that now, or I'll build it from scratch myself to suit my need. I find that to be how I do my work. The second part of that question was, how fast did they work for you? Work takes time. Work takes time. Sometimes their results are obvious and immediate. Sometimes I gotta wait, you know, a month, 2 months to see it come to fruition. Depends on what I'm asking. Depends on what I'm working on. What part of like my spiritual life I'm working on, and depends on if there's someone in opposition of me, like if there's someone working against me. So normally when I answer that question, I say work takes as long as it takes. Like it takes as long as it takes. But sometimes you do have a time limit on things. Like you might say, this is some fast money work. I need $500 by Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, so you know when it should come to fruition, if it's going to come to fruition or not. But a lot of times when I do work, it takes as long as it takes, and it will last as long as it lasts. Like a open road work I did last year about, you know, my health journey and financial stability, that kind of stuff. I'm still seeing the remnants of that, you know, as I go throughout this year. So it takes as long as it takes, and it lasts as long as it lasts. Okay. Next question is, I can't see the moon. Help. My area has been super gloomy and rainy the past few days and today. The sky is still completely cloudy, and I don't think I'll be able to see the full moon tonight. Will this affect any rituals, specifically crystal charging or making moon water? What drew me to this question was that oftentimes people think that just because they can't see the moon that they can't do work, right? So if you are a hoodoo who incorporates, you know, moon cycles and charging of crystals and things like that into your work, just because you can't see the moon doesn't mean it's not there. The moon is always there. The moon, scientifically speaking, I guess, is always full. Like the sun only illuminates a certain part of the moon for us to see. And then that's how we get that lunar rhythm. That's why I tend to use a lunar rhythm not to fuel work, but as a timekeeping device, right? Because the moon's always full and it's always there. The spirit of the moon is always playing off of Earth. It's always moving tides. It's always, affecting people and how we interact with each other. It's sometimes they say it's affecting a woman's menstrual cycle. Like, it's always there. It's always doing those things. So if you want to charge your crystals, just charge your crystals is my answer. But I understand that for certain people, charging during certain moon phases imbues the crystal with that part of the moon's spirit. Like, if that's how you want to work, I respect that. But the moon's always full. It's always there, whether you see it or not, right? So if you want to charge your crystals, just put it out. I will say this, though, if that's not how you work, like if you've decided in your practice that if you cannot see the moon, then and let me put it a different way. If you've decided in your practice that you need the moonlight in order to charge the crystal. So it's not just the moon. You need moonlight to touch the crystal or whatever it is you're doing, right? Then use something else to do it, right? Salt bath, trying to think, hold it in your hand and give this object a part of yourself if you're using it to charge. And I put that in air quotes, to charge your crystals or things like that, your tools. Then put it in your hand and you give yourself to that item or tool to imbue it with spirit, right? Me personally, I believe in feeding, so it's not necessarily about charging anything. I believe that the thing has a spirit and I have to feed it, right? So you can also look at it that way. If you can't feed it moonlight, then feed it whiskey. If you can't, if you don't have whiskey on hand, then feed it, I don't know, an herb blend. Like, there's all sorts of, there's other ways to get what you need. If you can't, if one of the conditions of your practice is not met, let's put it that way. So to answer the question, it really depends on how you like to practice, what your beliefs are. If seeing the moon, having the moonlight will actually imbue the object with spirit or will make your ritual more or less potent and viable. But regardless, if you need the moonlight and you don't have it, then you need to find something else to do it. You don't have to wait until the next full moon. You do work when work needs to be done. All right. I feel like I'm on a roll here. Let's take a couple more questions. this one comes from Uncle Leroy's Hoodoo Corner, which is my favorite place on Facebook to just watch modern hoodoos do modern hoodoo stuff. There's not just hoodoo in there. There's other ATRs in there. So if you're about that life and you want to just kind of creep and look, Uncle Leroy's Hoodoo Corner is a pretty cool place to just kind of pick up on the pulse of what's going on, in online communities, as well as, get some juice, some gossip, some celebrity tea, or which Baba Lawa was doing, whatever. Like, it's an interesting space. okay. So the question is, good morning group. Quick question. Can I put my boyfriend in a sour jar if he's still living in the house with me? Just asking. Okay. Can you do that? Can you put your boyfriend in a sour jar? Your live-in boyfriend in a sour jar? Sure. Sure you can. There is no hoodoo, God, council, law enforcement who will knock on your door and be like, hey, girl, don't do that. That's a $50 fine. Like, no one's going to do that. So yeah, sure you can, but should you? would I? No. Mm-mm. The next episode is a folklore episode, but coming up soon, I'm going to talk about like actions and consequences, karma, divine retribution, whatever you want to call it. This falls into that category of action and consequence. You're living with this person. You need this person. This person's in your sphere. At best, you can take care of yourself and they're just, there. At worst, they are a part of your ecosystem in a very important way, helping to pay rent. You come home and, you're saying hello. They're cooking dinner. Like, their mood is in your temple. Their body is in your space, right? at worst, you depend on this person to survive, like really depend on this person to survive. So if that's the case, either way, I would not put someone in my space in a sour jar. I wouldn't sour them, jinx them, curse them, hex them, whatever you want to do. That's left hand work. That's, you know, a fix in a way that may cause this person to have some weird, reactions. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that. Fair to say that you can't always figure out how someone will react to work, spiritual work, spell work, whatever. You can't always tell. But if I'm souring that person, if I'm souring their condition, and I gotta be honest with you, I don't want to be anywhere near them, because when things are not going well for someone, they tend to behave in a way that makes being around them kind of toxic. And I don't know this person. I don't know this person's boyfriend. But like, have you ever been around somebody who's like life is just not going the way that it should go? They're not acting like Job and getting down on their knees and being like, thank you, God. No, normally they're like, this motherfucker, this thing's happening to me. I want to lash out. I can't process this emotionally. So I would not put someone I live with in a sour jar at all. And I guess it should be said that if you are willing to do spiritual work over someone to sour their condition, and they're supposed to be an intimate partner of yours, I question whether or not they should still be your intimate partner, right? Because if they're your intimate partner, spouse, boyfriend, live-in, whoever, long-term, whatever, you should want the best for them, even when they're not behaving in a way that makes you feel comfortable or is good to your relationship. You should still want the best for them. You should still want their blessings to find them. So it's a little weird to me that you would want to put your boyfriend in a sour jar. It's a definite no for me for putting someone I live with in a sour jar. However, like I said, there is no counsel. So in theory, if you feel so moved, if you think that's going to solve your problem, sure, you can do it. I would not, though. I wouldn't do that. Okay. So that was a fun question. Next question. Spell oil possibly compromised. I made this oil about prosperity about 2 weeks ago, and my plan was to just let it sit for a while and check on it every few days. A few days ago, I opened it up to see how it was smelling and resealed it. Well, turns out I didn't realize I didn't fully tighten it, and it also fell over in the drawer. Girl, I hate when that happened. I've done that. All the herbs are still in there, but half the oil is gone. Yeah. That's normally what happens. I still have a bunch of carrier oil left to fill it back up, but I'm concerned of it possibly being magically compromised if I fill it back up again, or even like physically contaminated. I also tend to be paranoid, so I'm kind of worried about that as well. Some feedback advice would be greatly appreciated. So we are making our own condition oils. And oops, it wasn't tight and it spilled. The herbs are still in the jar. There's probably still a little oil in the jar. What would I do? I, Coco, would just put oil in the jar and then restart the timer. So, if I was going to let it sit for, you know, 7 to 14 days, as soon as I put new carrier oil in the jar, I'm resetting it to day one. I don't know. I cannot think of a reason why it would be contaminated magically, or like or even in a mundane way. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It just fell over. And the reason why you would just start over is because it's not infused yet. Like, you want the herbs inside of the oil to marry with the oil, right? You want it all to kind of mix together and steep, kind of like when you put a tea bag in water. You don't put the tea bag in water and then start drinking. You let it steep for a while. It's the same idea. So yeah, just put some more oil in there. Well, I don't know if they're a girl. Cousin, just put some more oil in there and reset the timer. It's okay. It's all right. I know you said you were paranoid, but you also sound kind of new. And I'm telling you, it's not as bad as you think it is going to be. It's a conditioned oil. Your creation of it is important, yes. But your use of it, I would say, is even more important. So refill it up, say your prayers over it, and just make sure that top is tight, okay? Okay. Okay, so let's do like two more. What's a good one? What's a good one? Okay. Love spell on an ex isn't working. About a month ago, I had a spellcaster perform a love spell to bring my ex back. I've also been practicing manifestation for a few months, and it's been going well. I even manifested a job offer recently. Overall, I've been feeling positive and calm. Today, I checked my ex's social media for the first time in a while and saw he's been interacting with another girl. She even posted a picture with him on her Instagram. It looks like they might be dating. I'm just wondering if this means the love spell isn't working, or if it's one of those things that takes time, or maybe I need to boost the spell somehow. I would love to hear from anyone who's been through something similar with love spells or manifestation. What do you guys think? This is from the Spells Reddit. Like, it is the Reddit subreddit called Spells. Okay. So there's a firm possibility I'm about to sound lonely and bitter. I acknowledge this before I start. Hey, cousin, let me tell you something. Leave your ex alone. Leave him alone. Love spells, I don't care about the morality of it. If that's important to you, that's important to you. Domination work is domination work, whether that's a love spell, boss fix, hot foot. Domination work is domination work. So I'm not going to talk to you about, you know, the principles and morality around love spells. It's whatever. But what I know to be true is that when you are doing some sort of domination work, when you are working on with the will, trying to bend the will of someone else, you have a lot going against you. And there's some certain conditions need to be met, not just in spell form, but also in the mundane. So for example, this person did a love spell to get your ex back, but you're so far removed from your ex's, you know, sphere, right? I don't know if this is a condition so far in this person's question, but just stay with me on this hypothetical. You did a love spell to get someone back, but you're not in their sphere anymore. You know, they've deleted your number out of their phone. You can look at their Instagram, but they, you know, you guys are not friends on Instagram anymore. You're not, you know, showing up on each other's feed anymore. You guys don't even share the same friends anymore. So sure, you did a love spell on this person and they may want you back, but now they have to take steps to get you back. And a lot of times the moment someone has to take the steps, right, to get the person back or to make contact, that gives them time to second guess, to think about it again, talk to a friend. And now, you know, what inkling, tickle in the back of their brain they might have had before is now being overridden by their own willpower, right? You may have felt one way about the relationship and how it ended, and they may feel another way. So yes, the thought might pop in their mind. They might even go, you know, look at your pages online to see how you're doing, but that doesn't change how they felt about that breakup. It might not change how they feel about that breakup. Or in this case, for example, the person may really be thinking about you hard and heavy and really wanting to, you know, see what's going on with you. But someone new came into their life and stole their attention. Like, love spells in this way, domination based love spells, are very tricky when you're not in that person's sphere, when you're not just all up in their space and they don't have easy access to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying it's not possible. We've read a lot of folklore about it. You can go online right now and have people talk about, oh yeah, girl, I can do a call me now spell, you know, so that person will reach out to you. But with all work and the way in which I do my spiritual work, my spell work, is that there has to be a mundane component with the work itself, like the spiritual stuff itself. So I do this spell so my ex will come back to me. I now need to put myself in my ex's path, right? So they see me, the spell's working. Now I have a better shot of getting them back, right? That kind of stuff, right? Test the waters. You feel like you might get this person back, or they should be with you, then why not give them a call? See how it works out for you. Like, that's how I like to work. I'm aware that that's not necessarily how love spells are supposed to work, but I find that when it comes to getting old lovers back, the most successful ones that I've come across or I've seen is when you are in that person's sphere, like you're in their attention sphere. If you're not, you don't know if it worked or not. That's the first part. And it may have worked, but something overrode, you know, that train of thought they had or that feeling they had, or they decided not to chase it. When we do work on other people, we have to take into consideration that they may react in a way that we did not expect. And I guess the part with love spells that makes it even harder is now your heart's broken again. They left you, you're yearning for them, and if it doesn't work in the way that you want it to work, because you don't have access to them like you used to, even a part of like you used to, now your heart's broken again because the spell didn't work. So that's why online and even in person, like if you were sitting next to me, I would tell you, leave your ex alone. If you did the love spell and you were in their sphere, you saw them, you could see them, you know, I don't know, that month, or give them a call like to test the waters, then sure, I would give it a try. I would always say that, give it a try. But it's a long shot if you're not in that sphere. So just leave your ex alone. Leave your ex alone and go find someone else. That's probably the hardest to hear, I think. Especially when it's around love spells. It's hard to hear, hey, cuz, leave him alone. Go find someone else. Because your heart still belongs with them. Personally, I would walk through grieving that relationship, and then, you know, severing your ties, your spiritual ties to that person, in a romantic ties, I should say, with that person, like allowing it to unravel so that way you can move on. Because currently right now, the love spell is being done out of desperation, and you're holding on to someone that's not yours. That's not spiritually healthy. Like, that's not healthy for you. And unless you can pair the spell with a mundane path, you should let it go for your own spiritual welfare. I'm sorry, cousin. Okay, last question. What morals has hoodoo taught you? This comes from Uncle Leroy's Hoodoo Corner. I'm telling you, it's a weird place over there, and I like it. And they always come up with some great topics to talk about. So the question is, what morals has hoodoo taught you?
I think that I don't know what morals hoodoo taught me. I would like to think that I've come with the same morals that my mom instilled in me, or, you know, and the ones that I built for myself as time has progressed and I've made it into adulthood. But I do think that hoodoo has taught me lessons, for sure. I think the biggest lesson that I've taken from my hoodoo journey so far is that, what's the best way to put this? Like, the truth of the matter doesn't change, right? Like, the facts don't change just because I may feel a certain way about it, right? It's like we just said about love spells, right? And doing love work. For a lot of people, that's an immoral thing to do because it's domination work and you are trapping someone in a relationship with you. And I get that. I understand that. I feel that. But the fact is that as a hoodoo, it's not uncommon to deploy domination work, even if it's not in a love spell. So is a boss fix immoral? Right? Because you are trapping your boss into doing something that you want them to do against their will. Right? So how is that any more moral or immoral from a love spell? Right? The truth is that you're doing domination work. Right? You're trying to bend the will of someone else. So is that something I can live with is the question. Right? That the fact of the matter is I'm doing something left-handed. I'm trying to push someone to do what I want. I'm deploying manipulation tactics. The question becomes, can I live with this? Right? Because the facts don't change. So can I live with that is the question. Another lesson that hoodoo has done for me, or at least shown me, is that I have to come with my own code of ethics. I have to understand how I like to work spiritually, and I have to draw my boundaries. The reason I say that is because hoodoo doesn't have any, right? There is no karma system. People like to put a karma system on hoodoo, like actual karma, you know. Your religion might say if you do this bad thing, you'll go to hell. But if you look at hoodoo in general, there is no ethical system in that manner. It's like I said before, it's either something you can live with, something that goes towards your morals, or it doesn't. So now that you understand that things are just the way they are, you have to build your own code of ethics around how you want to handle it. Right? Because hoodoo does not inherently come with one. Unless you're Christian and you're using your Christianity in hoodoo, then yeah, I guess it does. But if you remove that, like I've removed that part of it, my hoodoo is not Christ-centered, then I have to build my own code of ethics. That's important. I think the last lesson that being a hoodoo, working in this space, has taught me is that just like the code of ethics, just like the fact of the matter, I have to be okay with what is, right? I did the work and it didn't happen for me. I did the love spell and he didn't come back to me. I have to be okay with that because that's what's happening, right? So like I have to be okay with you know, if my work does not work out, life will still go on. I still have to maintain myself spiritually. I still have to wake up the next morning. I still have to go to work. I cannot obsess over work not working. I do the work. And if I'm heard, if it works in my favor, that's good. Sometimes it works in my favor, and then I realize at the end, that's not what I want. I have to be okay with that too. Right? Like you, I don't know. It's taught me that, things happen. Sometimes I make it happen. Sometimes it happens in a way I didn't expect or I didn't want, and I have to pivot. I have to accept that that's what it is and then, you know, go on with my life. And I gotta be honest with y'all, that was probably the hardest lesson to learn, right? That sometimes the answer is no. No. I petitioned the universal spirit of whatever, and the answer was, no, you're fine. I'm not helping you with that. That's not for you. I have to be okay with that. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Even now, I gotta like sit in that for a second, grieve that for a second. The loss of something I wanted to happen to me or I thought was mine. Even if it was one thing happened to me, guys, and it was like in my hands. I was in control. I felt it in my hands, and it wasn't even 4 hours later, and I could watch it just slip right out of my hands. It just flew right on out. That it wasn't mine. It wasn't mine to have. I did my part, you know, in getting it and making sure that it was kept sacred, and then it just, you know, flew out. I have to be okay with that. Like I have to. I can't dwell on it, you know. So to hear that no, to see the no literally building itself in front of me, you know, to see the wall come down in front of me was hard. But what, like a year later, almost, if not like, or like 6 months later, like it doesn't even matter. Like it doesn't even matter. I don't know if that's the nihilist in me talking, like where, you know, things matter if I want it to matter, because, you know, nothing has inherent meaning anyway, or if it's just, you know, age. I don't know, but hearing hoodoo will do that to you. Sometimes you have to hear the no and you have to be okay with it. All right. So we've reached the end of the podcast. Congratulations, cousin. thank you for staying with me as far as you have. It was weird not doing this with Big Sis, but I'll ask her next time. I guess I just felt really guilty. I'm listening to her like talk about what's going on in her life, and I'm like, yeah, let me not bother her. So next time though, I'll ask. Even if I get a no, I'll ask to see how, you know, to see if we can meet up to do an episode of Internet Witches Got Questions. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. Okay. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes what we want and what we need are not the same thing. Sometimes the conditions around what we're trying to do are not optimal, but that's okay. It's all right. Because we are here to thrive and survive. We're here to get past the suffering. And one of the ways to get past suffering is to just call for your blessing. And if you call for your blessing, cousin, it will come to you. It might not come the way you want it to, but it will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.